Now back to the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap with Tom Evans.
No. In the ring. Tommy Gunn only fights in the ring.
And Rocco Nucci.
Rocco, you know who that is, huh?
Yeah, I know who that is.
On AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.
Well, the same Rocky movie franchise references, but a new year here on the High School Weekly Wrestling Recap. It's presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. I'm Rocco Nucci, joined alongside, once again, the one, the only, Tom Evans. Tommy, welcome back in, my friend. It's been a while since we've had a chance to do this.
Been a while. Super excited. Great first week of wrestling. Lots of results to talk about. Let's go.
And I think one thing, you know, we mentioned this numerous times last year, but the continued growth of girls wrestling. I mean, you guys found out at the preview show all kinds of new girls coaches, more area teams now with that official girls team, which I think is just tremendous for the sport.
And some local tournaments have popped up with the great participation in them. The Ironman, the tournament of all tournaments for boys in the country, now has a girls division, and some of the girls from Lorain County were there this last weekend, so a lot of happening Lorain County-wise, wrestling-wise.
So we'll dive into the results and things here in a couple of minutes as we'll first replay an interview from our coaches preview show, as we heard from Armando Torres and Paul Felton, correct? The new girls coach over there at Elyria.
Absolutely. Paul was excited about taking on that role. They posted a picture. It looked like he had about 8 or 9 girls in the squad.
Wow.
And I think they're off to a real good start this year.
So, you know, early on in the season, again, we'll dive into the results a little later, but is it mostly just tournaments so far in the early going? Have we had some head-to-heads? What's kind of been going on?
There's been a couple,
so far?
And this week the SWC will start their duels. But the first weekend, a lot of these tournaments are, you can enter multiple wrestlers. So it's almost kind of, it's a varsity tournament, yeah, but you're going to get a lot of your other guys' matches these first couple weeks as well, with the exception of a place like the Ironman. But Lorain and the Cobos and some of the other, the North Coast Classic, where most of our boys' schools were, they could enter as many wrestlers as they wanted, and that's
sure.
A good thing. The coaches want to see everybody on the mat. They want to be able to evaluate their kids after the preseason and go from there.
It's kind of what it's all about in the early stages, right? Just sort of seeing what you got and knowing where to go from there.
No, absolutely. You know, the guys are still fighting for spots. A lot of guys aren't down to the weights that they'll be at, so it's just kind of, it's that first run of the belt. It's a lot of matches in a weekend, and you find out exactly where your team is.
Good deal. So let's step aside, take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from Coach Armando Torres of Elyria, as well as their girls head coach, Paul Felton. They'll both be joining us next right here on the High School Weekly Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Rocco Nucci, Tom Evans here with you live on AM 930 WEOL 100.3 FM on the mobile app, and Tom, the folks can listen online as well
at WEOL.com.
It is the weekly High School Wrestling Recap presented by Century 21, Deanna Realty, Rocco Nucci, Tom Evans here with you. Here shortly we'll hear from Elyria head coaches Armando Torres and girls head coach Paul Felton. But Tom, I'm sure that was exciting for you getting to catch up with all those coaches again, obviously. Not Giuliani. Joel Melvin, ending things. Was he last at the preview show per tradition?
Always last, on purpose.
Man, gosh, what a guy. What a guy that Joel Melvin, tell you that much. So without further ado, I know you guys had an awesome conversation with Armando Torres and Paul Felton, boys and girls head coaches respectively over there at Elyria High School for their wrestling program. So let's hear what they had to say back at the preview show getting ready for the season ahead.
And head coach Armando Torres with the boys and Paul Felton with the girls program. And Coach Torres, second year,
yep,
right,
second
after
year.
After taking over for Coach Burnett. We all know what big shoes you have to fill taking over for him. How is year two for you going to be a little easier than year one? What did you learn last year that's going to help you out this year?
I think the most important thing is I learned a little bit more about the wrestlers that I have, right? So you gain some knowledge on some of those guys that came back and are wrestling, and luckily I still got that Coach Burnett guy still on the staff to help me out, you know? So he gives me some pointers here and there, and I think just learning and getting comfortable in the position and learning all those little things behind the scenes that need to run and work so we can continue to have success. You know, that I think that would be probably the biggest thing that I'm more comfortable with now this year.
And Armando, you had some kids that had a great amount of success over the summer. You bring back some really, really tough kids, Connor Holm, Blake Cancel, Seamus Fogarty, Cameron Wimberly. Talk to us about what you bring back to that Pioneer roster.
Yeah, so I guess to start, you know, we have three really good seniors this year. Connor Holm, Isaac Green, and Ryan Scott. Those guys are great guys to lead this program and lead these young guys that we're bringing in. We have a good group of ninth graders coming in, and we're going to have good young guys coming in to follow, and they're great stepping stones, great foundation for that. Isaac Green and Ryan Scott and Connor Holm, you know, they put in a great summer. They did everything that we asked of them. They were at all the Burnett camps. They were living there. So they did a great job, and I expect big things from them. As far as some of those younger guys that you mentioned, like Kamarion Wimberly, definitely put him on your radar. I think that kid's going to do some big things this year. He put in a great, great, great summer this year. Last year he started at about 235 pounds. This year we're probably going to see him at 175.
Wow.
So he's put in tremendous amount of work, did a great job this year, getting some mat time, getting some practice time in the summer. So he'll surprise. And Blake Cancel's talented, very, very talented kid. And, you know, we're working to build his confidence. And I think that after the success he had last year, I think he's going to follow it up pretty well.
Tell us about some names that maybe we don't recognize that have looked good in the practice room that you think are going to make an impact for the Pioneers this year.
Yeah, so back to those young dudes, right? We got a couple really good freshmen that I think, you know, will come out and do some good stuff. 106, you know, we have Bennett Wachter. He's going to do good things, I think. He's coming back from being a junior high state placer last year as an eighth grader. Lives in the wrestling room. Just does the right thing. Great kid. Good grades. Everything that you want out of a wrestler. Let's see. Seamus Fogarty. Awesome. He's coming back. He's a junior. He was about a match away last year from making the state tournament. He's coming back. Going to debut at 113. And, you know, he's put in a good summer, too, and a lot of work. And then we have Blake Bernath and Nate Sears, who are a couple other freshmen that keep your eye on.
You've mentioned freshmen a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple questions with that.
Yep.
How hard is the transition to go from junior high wrestling to varsity wrestling as a freshman? Second part is, how important is it for your older kids, even though this is an individual sport, older kids to help them out to kind of show them the way?
Yeah, well, that's all culture. It's all culture, and I think that's the thing that we're stressing this year and that we're trying to rebuild is that culture of doing the right things in the room, doing the right things outside of the room, doing the right things in the classroom. And that's where your older guys come into play to lead, because they have to lead by examples to show those young guys, you know, how to do the right things, do what they need to do to have success. And as far as that transition, those guys that I mentioned, those freshmen, those young guys, they wrestled a lot this summer, and they've already, you know, got their toes dipped into that high school field, felt what that's going to be like. And I think getting them started wrestling high schoolers and wrestling some of those national tournaments that some of these guys went to really helps them transition, because they've seen it already by the time they step on that mat in December.
I'm going to circle back to the OACs a little later. I'm going to tap into Paul a little bit. Paul, long time around the Elyria program. I see the smile. I see the pictures on Facebook. It looks to be about 8 or 9 girls on the squad. First time Elyria official squad. You know, Riley has been the poster child for girls wrestling here in Northeast Ohio. Tell me how excited you are, and talk to me a little bit about the Pioneer girls wrestling squad this year.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. You know, like you said, Riley paved the way for a lot of the Elyria girls. You know, we had her on our team for 3 years. She was the only girl. And then we had 6 or 7 girls last year, so we grew a lot, you know, and it was good for Riley to have a team around her, you know, instead of being just the only girl on the team. This year we've, I think, doubled our numbers. You know, we're sitting around 13 or 14, and they're sticking around. You know, they're showing up every day to practice. They're willing to learn, and they're excited about the program too. So it makes it even more exciting for me as well.
So do you get to build a dual meet schedule and a tournament schedule for the girls?
Yeah, so right now we have a lot of tournaments, but we do have 2 duels. I think Berea Mid-Park, we're dueling against them, and Avon Lake as well.
Outstanding. I'm going to circle back to you a little bit, Armando. Talk to us a little bit about, because OAC, the youth wrestling tournament in Ohio, and they even had a freshman state tournament last year, is just exploded. And tell us how that gets kids ready to walk into your varsity wrestling room, how prepared they are.
Yeah, I mean, OACs is the best of the best when it comes to those little guys. That's the state tournament that we shoot for with our youth kids and our younger kids because it prepares you so well. Anytime you're wrestling, it doesn't matter what age, what division, anytime you're wrestling the best in the state, that's going to prepare you to wrestle the best in the state later on, you know, and that's what you're doing at the OACs. You're wrestling those kids who have been wrestling, have that experience, technically are really sound. I mean, I started going back to the OAC junior high and grade school tournament about 2-3 years ago, you know, coming out of college, and I was watching some of these guys, and I'm like, wow, that's technique that in college I was learning, you know, and they're already nailing it down at that age in junior high and elementary school. So you're not going to get much better competition at those ages than an OAC state tournament or some of those other national tournaments.
You know, Armando, that I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Your schedule, the Elyria schedule, obviously, it was go anywhere. You probably out of the 10 best high school tournaments in the country, you guys were wrestling in 6 of them. You still have that brutal schedule? Are you putting your own spin on the schedule at all, or are you just kind of riding the wave right now?
Yeah, so for the most part, our schedule hasn't changed too much. This year, we're a little bit more better suited for duels than we were last year. Last year we were struggling to fill a full lineup. We got better numbers this year, so we should be able to fill up a full lineup, and we have a little bit more depth to play with. So I added in a dual meet. It's called Shamrock Duels down in Barnesville. Barnesville, you guys know, is like the number one Division III state or school in the state right now. So there's going to be some quality teams down there. We're doing that instead of the Carnahan tournament in Indiana, which was a tough one-day tournament. So we're going to switch to get some of these kids some guaranteed matches and guaranteed mat time. So that's going to look different. But other than that, you know, we're going to a lot of the same things. I think we added another quad in Olentangy, Berlin. But, yeah, Ironman, Brecksville, Maumee Bay Classic. We try to get these guys competing and tested as much as they can going into March, because that's all we can use to really as a measuring stick until then.
So, Coach Felton, I wanted to ask you, what is it like coaching girls as opposed to coaching the boys? What are some of the differences, maybe the obvious ones, maybe the not so obvious?
You know, it is a little different, you know, obviously just because they're girls. But they pay attention real well, just like, you know, a lot of the boys do too. There's not really too much that's different. Maybe just because a lot of them are still brand new, don't know the sport at all, where, you know, some of the boys have wrestled at least in junior high or in youth. So we're kind of starting from the basics, you know, the stance and the motion and just learning all of the basics right now.
Is motivational different? How do you motivate a girl as opposed to a boy? Is that maybe part of that?
I would say, yeah, maybe a little bit. But these girls, you know, they get nervous because they've never been on a mat before. You know, they don't really know what they're expecting out there. You know, it's a new sport for most girls, you know, so it is something different. So until they really get out there and get on the mat, they do have a lot of nerves. But, you know, once they get out there and they start going at it, you know, I think they kind of, you know, zone all that out.
For either one of you, I was just kind of curious. We know what it's been like in the other sports for Elyria High. It's been real positive getting into the Southwest Conference from where you were, from the travel, from the competitiveness and all that. From a wrestling standpoint, what is it like to be in the SWC? Has that been a positive since you come over from the Greater Cleveland Conference? Or does conferences not matter as much in wrestling because you do so many invitationals than it is an individual sport?
Yeah, no, I think conference is a little bit different because it builds rivalries around us, you know, rivalries with Amherst and Avon Lake and Avon and Olmsted Falls, and the kids get really excited for those matches, and most of those matches are our home duels as well, so they get fired up for those and they want to compete, and so I think by that aspect it's a great thing, and the SWC Conference has some good teams. I mean, Avon Lake's good, Avon's good, Amherst is good, Olmsted Falls is good. You know, there's some teams that you really got to wrestle and send out your best lineups and compete against. So it makes for a lot of fun. It makes for a good environment. As far as the GCC, I think, Coach Paul, you can probably answer that one a bit better than parents.
Yeah, I kind of agree, especially for, like, the girls. You know, we have Avon Lake and Berea Mid-Park that both have a pretty good-sized girls team. So that helps our girls out. You know, now I think we fill almost 10 spots in the lineup. So, you know, we have a pretty decent-sized dual team, so it should be pretty interesting this year.
That's what I was going to get to with you, Paul.
And there's head coaches from Elyria High School, Armando Torres from the boys' side and Paul Felton on the girls' side. Great conversation, Tom, between the four of you. Rob Polinski joining you guys as well. Obviously, a lot of excitement for the season ahead.
Yeah, super excited about the season. I think there's going to be there's a lot of parity in Lorain County, and that's good parity. There's a lot of good wrestling teams. It's you know, I don't know that there's a clear favorite in the SWC, although Avon Lake's the defending champs, and they're the champs until somebody proves otherwise.
Sure.
Columbia's the same in the LC8. They're the defending champs until somebody proves otherwise. But there's going to be a lot of really hot competition in Lorain County this year.
Well, and that competition has already begun, as we'll step aside and take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll dive into some of the results that have happened already at some of our tournaments and maybe dive into what's coming up ahead this week and weekend across Lorain County. So we'll be right back with more of the High School Weekly Wrestling Recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Rock Anushi, Tom Evans here with you on AM 930 WEOL 100.3 FM on the free mobile app. And Tom, the folks can listen online anytime
at WEOL.com.
Once again, here are Tom Evans.
No, in the ring, Tommy Gunn only fights in the ring.
And Rock Anushi.
Rocco, you know who that is, huh?
Yeah, I know who that is.
On the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.
And we're back on the weekly High School Wrestling Recap. It is presented by Century 21, Deanna Realty, Rock Anushi, Tom Evans here with you. A big thank you to Armando Torres and Paul Felton from Elyria High School, the boys and girls wrestling coaches, respectively, for joining us at the preview show. You just heard a replay of that interview last segment here on the High School Weekly Wrestling Recap. As let's dive into some of the results that have happened already at some of our tournaments early on in the new season. Tom, I know you've got pages and pages full of results and information to go through over there, but I think we got to start at the Titan Classic.
So awesome. And before we get to that, I like the Saturday morning lead-in for you better, Rocco, than this lead-in here. So I'll get some new clips.
I want to
get that out there. So that's
movie
Saturday
extraordinaire
morning,
Jared Kozar will have to get on the case, and we'll see what we can whip up in the kitchen over here.
Yeah, the Titan Classic over in Lorain, seven county schools over there this weekend. The best showing was by Black River, finished in fourth place with 169 points. The host, Lorain, in seventh. Elyria Catholic, a real good showing. Entered eight wrestlers. That's a great sign over there. Mike Cruz, I know Mick Burnett's over there helping them right now. They had a third place.
Easy. Wow, okay.
Yeah, they had a third place finisher, and Mason Moose at 106. Christian James is a runner-up at 113. They had a champ at 190, Hector Garcia, so that's a really, really good sign for a real once proud Elyria Catholic program. Elyria had some guys over there. They had some guys at the Ironman, too. Clearview, Brookside, Firelands, and Oberlin kind of rounded out the field over at Lorain this last weekend, and that's pool one day into a bracket on the second day, so that's a whole bunch of matches. Some of those wrestlers come out of there with eight or nine matches on the weekend.
What, you see numbers up this year? I know in talking with Mike last year, it wasn't obviously where they wanted it to be necessarily, but I don't know if you remember much of your conversation with them at the preview show.
Well, yeah, you know, better than what I think he alluded to at the preview show. They entered eight guys over at the Lorain Classic,
wow, okay.
And to come away with three placers, that's a really, really good start for them. That's a good get back for them, and I think when you have a champ, a third-place finisher, and a runner-up, that gives you some momentum to build off of. So I think that this week, kids in the hallways might have been taking notice that, hey, you know, you guys did some good stuff.
Sure.
You might pick up another straggler or two as you go. And when you're building a program, you'll take whatever walks in the door at that point in time. And then with Mike and in his second year, and he adds Mick Burnett, which is going to be a great add for him technician-wise. And I tease Mick about him looking out of place in some green over there. But
I'm really excited
about the potential over on Gulf Avenue.
Culture and numbers, that seems to be what it's all about. So other events, I know you'd mentioned off-air, the North Coast Classic, a decent showing for
Martins. Well, we'll talk about Avon Lake, first of all. You know, the Cobos had been a two-day. It's down to a one-day tournament, but the host, Avon Lake, Shoreman, ended up in second with 283 points. Amherst Steel was in third, Avon fourth, Vermilion fifth, Wellington sixth, five county schools over there.
Wow.
And again, a lot of guys getting matches. If you look at this, if you looked at it in the paper, you say, how did Steel have three placers at 106 pounds? They had the runner-up, third and fourth place finishers.
Whew.
But, you know, Billy Walker's in his last year over there. He brought in some high-powered help. He's got Dan and Tommy Milkovich helping him over there, and Dan Turner's with the youth program, and really looking for big things out of Steel this year.
Okay.
As the season goes on. Some familiar names over there, too. Bonamino, Van Anthony Tresno, Auville. So the SWC is going to be real interesting this year.
Yeah, that's good to hear for Amherst. And I know I've talking with Casey Wolf. Yeah, it is Coach Walker's last year over there. So certainly looking forward to what Steele can do. Where else have we had some results from in the past couple
of weeks?
The
North Coast Classic. I went over there for a good part of the day Saturday. 12 mats. And you really got to love your wrestling if you want to follow wrestling over the North Coast Classic, because they place up to like 18 places or 20 places. There's so many wrestlers entered in that tournament.
Right up your alley.
Yeah, Keystone finished 20th over there, Columbia 23rd, and that was, I think the top finishers over there for Columbia. Mike Fry, who state ranked, was second. Rushi Patel ended up fourth at 113 pounds. Nice showing by him. And Andrew Sorensen at 126, finished in sixth place. So those are good showing. That's going to be the core group at Columbia. They'll be as good as the rest of those guys can fill in around them. You know, again, they're walking around with a target on their back this year. They were the champs. And,
right.
And looking at this Keystone lineup and some of the Keystone kids and the way they wrestled, and Black River had a great outing. The LCA could be a real shootout this year.
Yeah, no Cole Schulke for Columbia, obviously, this year. The young man graduating, he was the talk of the town pretty much in recent years. So some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, one of my favorite interviews, too. Cole is just a great kid to talk to. And you know, you can't talk about Keystone without talking about Tristan Green. Tristan was not at North Coast. He was over at the Iron Man, and he went 4-2 over there. Didn't get on the podium, but 4-2 and two losses by a total of 2 points. So as tough as that was, I think he was seeded 16th going into that tournament. But I think that gives Tristan a really good gauge on where he is right now in looking to defend a state title.
You weren't there at my old alma mater, Wallace Jesuit, for the Ironman, were you?
No, I stay away from that mayhem over there, because that's just...
It is mayhem.
Mayhem is the only... And then they added the girls on Saturday and Sunday. So girls went Saturday afternoon, Sunday for the finals.
Okay.
Boys were Friday night. They were there till midnight Friday night.
Man.
And then finals on Saturday. So they got after it.
Yeah, I remember being a student there at WJ. They were always looking for volunteers to help try to run that thing, because it is absolute chaos. You mentioned girls. What kind of other girls results have we had?
Just a great weekend for the girls. Brush hosted a girls pool tournament that over there, eight county schools ended up over there, and hats off to Vermilion. I knew Vermilion was strong coming back on the girls' side, but they walk away with the team title over at the Brush Arcs ladies' pool tournament with 189 points. Elyria was the runner-up with 169, so Lorain County doing real well.
Yeah.
And then Columbia was fourth without three or four of their girls were entered over at the Ironman. So real strong showing by the Lorain County. Avon Lake was 10th over there. Again, a couple of the Avon Lake girls were over the ladies' Ironman as well. But, you know, the usual suspects, Lauren Ficker, a state placer from last year, a champ over there for Vermilion. Alyssa Woodard, a champ at 120. Cora Frederick, third place at 130. Mackenzie Feltis, a place winner over there. So just a real nice start by the lady sailors. Brooke Jenkins with a third-place finish. Faith Sargent with a third-place finish. Emily Steiner with a fifth-place finish. So a real good outing for the Vermilion Sailors. And that's just more of the same from last year. I think they were one of the best-kept secrets in Lorain County, kind of hiding over there where they kind of split some area over there. But I say don't sleep on the Sailors this year.
Well, I know Lauren Ficker. That was a name we mentioned countless times last year throughout the course of the season. I believe we saw her at the All-Star event at the tail end of things.
Yeah, she's a defending state placer, and she's just that's a good core to build around. But, boy, nice things going over to Vermilion right now.
Any other results of note, Tom, from the past week or so?
Well, just some of those Iron Man scores over there. You know, Columbia's girls finished 12th over there with 39 points. Avon Lake ended up 16th at the Lady Iron Man. Mallory Zedell for Avon Lake placed 8th over there. Rajan Al-Hashish, who's one of my favorites.
Your favorite, yeah.
I love Rajan and Hattie both. And, you know, that goes back to the first year I interviewed. They were two of the interviews I did over at Lutheran West for the district.
That's right,
just the energy, unbelievable. Rajan was 5th, and Hattie finished 4th over at the Ladies Ironman for Avon Lake. So outstanding showing for them. And then the Columbia girls, Sarah Napier did not place. Justina Hanna ends up with a 3rd. Kaylin Demigal, defending state placer, comes out of their 5th. So really good opening weekend for boys and girls in Lorain County.
I love seeing excitement from the girls, too, because I think a lot of times when you're kind of new to a sport, especially on the girls' side in wrestling, kind of a male-dominated area, I think timidness and kind of just some shyness could take over, but not so much the case with a lot of our area wrestlers, man.
Listen, if you want to go to an event and get excited, go to a ladies' wrestling tournament, because during breaks, they get the music going, and everybody's on the floor dancing, doing and the energy could run a city that comes out of the ladies' tournaments, and it's a fun thing. It's great to see that. And it's great to see Lorain County so well represented.
And I know that's a legitimate endorsement coming from you, so good stuff there. All right, Tom, before we get out of here, what's kind of coming up in the weekend ahead that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, I got to get a shout-out here, sure. First of all, to Becky Caberna. She runs a Facebook page called Lorain County Smackdown Wrestling. And when I was struggling for some results this week, I reached out to Becky. Boom, she told me right where I could get them. But earlier today, Keystone wrestled Brunswick in a duel in the school, so I'm anxious to see how that went for him. This Thursday starts SWC duels, so Berea Mid-Park will be at Amherst. Avon Lake will be at Midview for both boys and girls. Avon will be at North Ridgeville, and Elyria will be at Olmsted Falls. This Friday, Midview's at the Doan Ford Invitational. That's a Friday, Saturday. I have no idea. That's a new tournament to me, and I usually don't get caught off guard like that.
No, yeah.
Keystone will be over the Solon Comet Classic. I think this is we're getting close to 50 years of the Solon Comet Classic. Wow. Great tournament. And then Saturday, Black River's at Clear Fork. Brookside, North Ridgeville are over in my hometown over the Pinner Invitational. And the Defense Soap duels take place up in Vermilion with Vermilion, yeah. Avon Lake, Clearview, and Lorain. And Farland's at the Cardinal tournament over there. On the girls' side, all ladies going on. The Clyde Flyer Invitational is on Sunday. Lorain, Black River, North Ridgeville will be over at Clyde. And the Defense Soap duels for the ladies will be Vermilion, Keystone, and Oberlin represented. And Columbia's going down to Olentangy for the Citrus duels. If you know anything about girls wrestling, Olentangy, one of the strongest programs in the state. So so they're jumping right into the fire over at Columbia.
Boy, we are just diving right into the full swing of things here in December, aren't we, Tom?
It's exciting, but you got to kind of pace yourself. So it's great to get those early season matches. But wrestling can be a grind. And you know, it's you really find out what you're made of when you get back from Christmas and all that grind. A lot of teams that have had summer wrestling going on want to see where their kids are right now. I was never a big Christmas tournament guy. I love Brecksville. I love going out to watch those tournaments, the Medina tournament. But I didn't want my kids peaking in December. Ours was, when we got back the first year, it was a steady pace to make sure that we were peaking conference tournament, sectional tournament time, so that carried us through the state tournament.
Kind of seems like the balancing act you need to have as a head coach, and like you said, you don't want to hammer your kids in December to where that's where they're peaking. You still got to save something in the tank for, you know, March time. So.
Yeah, and with its physicals it is, and with the tournaments right now, the kids getting anywhere from 6 to 8 matches on a weekend, you got to be ready to wrestle that many matches.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Tom, any final thoughts from you before we get out of here?
No, just as this 12 weeks, this is like the next 12 weeks is like Christmas for me every weekend. So I, checking the schedule and really excited about. And Lorain County is going to be fun this year. I mean, the two main conferences in the county are going to be shootouts. I'm really looking to see how that unfolds. And just to see the second year with the girls as a sanctioned sport, it's exploding. Yep. And just to see where all that goes this year in the county.
Well, I was just amazed, reading some of the, events coming up ahead. I didn't realize, Black River, they have a full girls team this year. And just some of the other schools in there, like North Ridgeville, same kind of territory. So awesome stuff. So, Tom, excellent job out of you, my friend. Looking forward to doing this for the next couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Should be a lot of fun.
Great start. Want to thank Mike Deanna for his continued support of high school wrestling.
Absolutely.
Mike's a National Hall of Famer, Ohio Hall of Famer. We truly appreciate that.
Couple of Hall of Famers we're talking about here then. How about that? So, Tom, thank you again, my friend, and a big thank you once again to Armando Torres and Paul Felton from Elyria joining us here on the Weekly Wrestling Recap. So for Tom, for Coach Torres and Coach Felton, I'm Rocco Nucci saying thank you for listening to the Weekly High School Wrestling Recap presented by Century 21 at Deanna Realty. You've been listening to it on AM 930 WEOL 100.3 FM and Tom online anytime
at WEOL.com.